Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars on a hot, hot July evening. It's great to be back with everyone. This is Dr. John. We've got a great show lined up, a lot of old friends, a lot of new ideas. The first thing that we want to say, and everybody can see it on the title of the show, Papastro Maestro has now won for the second time the UPWA World Heavyweight Championship. He beat Mike Orlando in Wilmington. Right. That's you, Dave Atwell. You're right. We're excited for him. And Papa Stro would be here with us tonight, but he is on set for a television series in which he will appear this fall. So we wish him the best. He will be back, of course, next week. And Dave Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. Yeah, Stro, he must think he's a celebrity or something and everything. But, yeah, best to him. Couldn't say I'm any prouder of him. I mean, here's a guy, again, I say it all the time, following the dream. And from one dream to another, from a wrestler to an actor and everything else. And amen. So if the sweat doesn't flow me away tonight, looking forward to the show this evening.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you said wrestler to actor to world champion, wrestler to film award winner. He is living the dream. We're proud he's part of our team and wish him the best tonight as he's filming.
Absolutely.
We have got the Queen of Sparkle herself, Liz Allred. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I hope you are.
Yeah, we're doing great. Glad to have you back.
Doing great.
I know you've been on location working hard, and we're just glad to have you back. What kind of things you've been doing? You've been doing some behind the scenes work, is that right?
Actually, I got the pleasure of working in the art department for a television series here recently. I've fallen into the art department, as you guys have learned throughout the past few months, and I was lucky enough to land a spot in the art department. So I can't complain. I've been pretty happy, and I wish I could tell you more, but as we get further in the show, I'll tell you what little bit of information I can.
Well, that's great. Let me ask you this. It was hot where you were working, am I correct?
Oh, my God. It was the hottest place. You know, I know why the devil went down to Georgia, because it's the only place that's it's hot enough for him to be. Oh, my God. It was awful.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Mike Roberts, the director of Vaughn, a little bit earlier this week, and I said, how did your filming go this past Sunday? He said, we found out how hot hell was, because they were filming in a U-Haul trailer for the scene.
Oh, no.
And he said, and it
oh,
was
wow.
You know, it was Sunday, which was one of the legendary hot days in Wilmington. And he said we almost died. He said we went through gallon after gallon of water, and I was hoping nobody would have a heat stroke. So believe me, actors and film crew, they really put forth, and they don't mind getting out there and getting hot and suffering for their art. Speaking of actors, we have award-winning actor Will Williams with us. Will, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. John. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Oh, it's always good having you. You know, we're having a good time tonight. This is we're just going to talk about film, television, and lots of great things. We'll talk a little bit about wrestling, I'm sure, and we'll talk a little bit about this and that. I can remind everyone that coming up on August the 12th is the Cape Fear Comic Con in Wilmington, North Carolina, starring Papastro Maestro and the cast of Vaughn, the sitcom, including Mike Roberts, the director, including Vaughn Wilson, who played Fergie on One Tree Hill, Ryan Williams, and Anna Elizabeth, and of course, several other folks in the cast. And we'll let you come out and meet them and have a great time at the Cape Fear Comic Con, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, August the 12th. It'll be a hot one, but that's okay. So, Will Williams, what have you been up to? Tell us a little bit. Tell us what you can about your documentary, your really cool documentary that you're working on. You were recently up in Atlantic City. And tell us what's going on with that, and remind us of that story. It's a great story. And I tell you what, Liz and Dave, you just join right in with questions, comments, or whatever. Will, you're on deck. What's up with your documentary?
So, basically, by chance, a couple years ago, I became close friends with a boxing trainer who was actually, he trained Mike Tyson and 27 other world champions throughout his career. And we came up with this idea to do a story about the first African-American heavyweight champion, Jack Johnson. And
okay,
what we did recently was we went to Atlantic City, New Jersey, to the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame induction. It was the inaugural induction for this Hall of Fame. And we interviewed a bunch of the legends, a bunch of people that were getting inducted, whether they be boxers themselves, promoters. One of the interviews we got was with Don King. Interviews with champions like Michael Spinks. Mike Tyson wasn't able to make it, which was kind of a bummer because we were excited about that. But we got a lot of great footage for interviews, so we're excited to put that together. And it's a long process, but in the end, it's going to be worth it, and it's going to be a very impactful story. And we're just looking forward to how it turns out.
Well, that's great. We certainly wish you the best, and let us know when you have a trailer. Do you think you'll have a trailer coming up anytime soon that we can watch?
Yeah, we actually have a small teaser trailer, but that was before we were able to get all the meaty, good interview footage, which is kind of a good thing because we want to save that. But we have an introductory teaser trailer that I could send you and let you watch it at any time. I'd be glad to do so.
Great. Could we post that on Comic-Con Stars for everybody to enjoy, and let me shoot that out on Facebook? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, we'll do that. You can get that to me sometime this next week, and I'll be glad to get that out to everybody. It's always good to see what everybody's working on. So Dave Atwell, what are you working on right now? I know you've got a lot of things going. You got your new, things are moving forward for you. So what new things are you working on that you could tell us about?
Wow. Well, that's the hard part right there. It's we've got a little bit behind the scenes, me, you, and Stro, of course, and which we can't divulge a whole lot about, but nevertheless, there is some cool, exciting stuff coming up there. Big John Dixon and myself and three other very talented young men, Josh Mayers being one of them, we have come together and kind of formed a little five-man group, and we're going to try to promote a comic book series or two. And I haven't bounced it off my dad, the Sergeant Major, yet, but I'm going to see. It's funny, I've known my dad my entire life, and I just found out about a month ago that he actually won, actually not won, he was awarded a Medal of Valor of some type or another in Vietnam. And, I look it up, not to doubt dad, of course, but I go back and look it up, and as I'm reading this stuff, he's dad. And as I read it, my jaw's hitting the floor, and, dad's 70. I'd still put him in any pen with a gator at any given moment. But reading this stuff, from the late 60s and everything when he was over there, it just certified my belief that this guy is just total badass. And so I'm going to try to coax him in to relaying some of the story behind him going to Paris Island, his experience through there, going to Vietnam, his second trip to Vietnam. Mom was 8 months pregnant with me, and I was 10 months old before he ever laid eyes on me. So I kind of want to get inside of his head, see if he's willing to talk some of those experiences out and everything, and we might try to convert that into a little bit of some graphic novel action and everything. And I tell you, for everybody that likes to blame their folks for all their failures. I'm one of those guys that likes to blame my folks for all my success. And both of them, mom and dad, are both very squared away people and whip my tail when I needed it. And I couldn't think of a better way to honor my dad than to lay out the beginning of his career. You know, and even in comic book form, I think it would be pretty flattering and one heck of a way to say thanks, Pop. So working on that, and then of course the relaunch with the Hunger series and everything. Working on book 5, and we ran into a few snags with Amazon. Imagine that, getting the other ones relaunched. Yeah, it's I tell you, and you guys have heard me from time to time on the show speak about the publishing business being. Being like the band business, never count on anything. I'm telling you, switching over publishing houses, bad in between, whenever you switch publishing houses, just bear in mind that it's going to cause a lot of drinking. It's going to cause a lot of foul language. But hopefully
like
once we get over that hump, yeah, it's something to behold. But hopefully everything will be good to go, and it better be good to go because we've got Cape Fear Con that we have to conquer here in, what, about 45 days? Well, less than that. Yeah, about 40 days.
Yep. Around 40 days. Then we got Jacksonville Comic Con on November the 4th. So we got a lot of exciting things going on. I am going to go out on a limb. And you mentioned something that you and Stro and I are working on. I'm going to at least name the names and say who we might be talking to. We got a little project we're working on. It does involve Papa Stro Maestro. It involves the one and only Greg Bo Watson, the great artist. It involves his son. We call him Junior, but his name's Brett Watson. It involves him, Papa Stro, as we said. It involves Antler Hill, Neil the Scarecrow, and some of their great music. So we've got and it also involves Vaughn, the sitcom, and Mike Roberts. So we've got a great little group there, and we're trying to put together a neat surprise for everyone. So that's about all I can say about it. But and Dave Atwell, I know I got to get as usual. I'm late, and I got to get my stuff to you, don't I?
Oh, that's all right. I've had about as much time to look at my email as I have to. Well, I'm standing here smoking a cigar, drinking a beer, talking on a show with you guys, so I have a little time. But
that's okay. I promise this weekend I'll get my part to you. Now, Liz, just other than being on location where it was so hot, just what other things are you looking at and cooking up?
You know, right now I am actually in the process of taking a bit of a break. I've been basically gone from my home for the better part of a month, from basically the 28th of May until I got home somewhere around the 25th or 6th of June. So I'm taking a little bit of downtime until my next endeavor comes up, but I'm really hoping that something big is going to come out of it. I've met quite a few people on set who say they could utilize me and who could put me in a really good position to keep pursuing my dreams and keep building upon those. So at this point, I've got a couple of small coals on the fire, but you know, as you were talking about earlier, you know, you don't really want to talk it up because you don't want it to kind of dissipate before the storm happens. So there's a couple of items that could be really good for me, but at this moment, I kind of want to keep something tight-lipped. But, you know, I think that working on the show that I just got finished working on is really going to open a lot of doors and avenues for me. And it's not necessarily, you know, huge potatoes, but it certainly wasn't small potatoes, considering it's probably the biggest baked potato I've had to work with so far.
Well, that's great. We're glad to hear that. All right, now, Hopes, Dreams, and Wishes department. I'm going to go around and ask each of the three of you, and I'll include myself in it. What project would you – and be? I think we can all be a little bit free on this, but what is our dream project to work on in the next 5 years? You know, what would you love to work on, and how would you like to be involved in it? All right? So I want everybody to take a breath, And I'm going to be a bad guy, and I'm going to call on Will Williams first. What's hope and dreams department? What do you want to work on in the next 5 years? And who do you want to work on it with? And what do you want it to be?
You know, I would love to be able to book a great role in a film that is not just, you know, that has a lot of depth to it. You know, I feel like there's a lot of films, especially the big studio films, where it's kind of, they play it safe. I want a really edgy role, get some notoriety all over the country, all over the world, the film, you know. I really want to test my acting chops. So it's okay to get the roles that I feel are just playing it safe, if that makes sense. But I want something that mm-hmm. really tests me, where I just have to, that's the only way I can describe it. It just really puts me to the test. And I have to become just a completely different person for this role. And so I find what I'm getting now, like most of the auditions I have are for more of like a all-American type look role. And I want to do more character acting.
Okay, that sounds good. So a little bit of a departure from the all-American guy. Well, I don't know, but I thought No Child was a little bit of a departure from that in some parts. It was pretty edgy, but that's a great goal for the hopes, wishes, and dreams department. Dave Atwell, you're next, and then Liz, you know, you'll be next, and then I'll finish up. Dave, what do you want to do in 5 years?
Oh, man, in 5 years, I want the Hunger series to just be my bread and butter project. That's the one that's bringing in the money and gives me, yeah, I said money. Anybody in the arts business that says they do it for the love of the game is full of it. We're doing it because we're trying to make a living, because we're tired of working these ham and egg jobs, and we want to do what we love and be able to keep the lights on doing it. So that's a large house. But inside that house, I want to see the Hunger series be in the living room, where the most activity's at. And then, of course, on the side of it is I have met so many fantastic people out on the road doing these shows and everything. And, Will, I'm going to throw you on the bus, big man. Bear with me. But
all right.
You know, I met Will at the steampunk Mid-Atlantic. And here's a guy I knew absolutely nothing about except for being on the show and everything. And I found out that Will is one heck of a good guy. And done a fantastic job in No Child. And totally impressed with that. And his lack of ego, but his desire to perform, and like he just got done saying, that was perfect. Here's a guy who's willing to take risks. And what I'd really like to do is get into the habit, as while the Hunger series is keeping my lights on, break away from it momentarily from time to time and write stories or scripts or anything like that that are specifically built around guys like Will that I've met that are, that are looking for a challenge and quite possibly can take my story to a whole nother level with their acting or directing or filmmaking or whatever. And, it's funny, Will, when we was at the show, I was talking about how you saw me jotting down notes in that little notebook.
Yeah.
The more I kept messing with it, and I've messed with it a little bit since the show, I've kind of went from how can I make this thing work to how can I make it work if Will was playing a certain character. And
oh, man, that's awesome.
You guys have heard me said a million times, the best success is shared success. If you're the only successful guy in a room, it's lonely. And when I say it's lonely, it's lonely. It's not lonely because you're the man. It's lonely because you are the man. And I would rather be in a room full of guys that have really kicked some butt and is doing good. I don't want any bad news around me. And if everybody can bring their little bit to the table, you know what I mean? Okay, he writes good, he acts good, he directs good. Whatever a gaffer is, he does that good. Bring him on.
Dave,
excuse me, will somebody gaff for me real quick? Okay, I gaff for you.
They do the lighting, Dave. Okay, all right.
Okay, thank you. That's 47 years I've wondered what a gaffer is. Now I know. I always thought it was a guy with a heavy cuff. But, or of course, the guy who doesn't do anything, that's a gaffer, you know.
Liz,
but
Liz, you,
nevertheless.
You love that, Liz, don't you?
Killing me. And the funny part, you know, I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but the funniest like aspect of his whole description is not one of those guys were female. Not one. And some of the hardest workers I've ever seen on set were picked on, but they were women. So maybe some of those guys in your dream could be women.
Yeah, absolutely. And shared success. I mean, could you imagine that all of us that were on this show, whether hosting it or you know, being a guest from time to time and everything, wouldn't it be cool just to have something that we did, and the only reason why it became what it was is because we were all at one time just wanting to do something special. And we all took our egos and parked it to the side, and we came together and we did something that meant something. And if it makes us rich and famous, then right on. You know what I mean? But in the next 5 years, that would be one of my biggest things, is to be able to look around at people like Will that I met, and I actually said, man, there's one heck of a good guy. I'd like to see him win.
Well, you see potential everywhere you turn around, and when you have the opportunity to see somebody who really moves you in that way, you can't do anything but keep pushing in that particular avenue.
Absolutely. And, you know, hey, I drive a 99 Durango, and I saw Vaughn pull up in a 94 Silverado, and I said, that guy needs a star. Here I am. Somebody else driving an older truck than me. This guy needs some help, you know. So, that's ultimately my thing. I just would like to do, and John, you've heard me talk about the Adam Sandler effect, where Adam Sandler had all of his buddies around and nobody can get anything going, and they had all these good ideas, and Adam Sandler said, well, I got an idea. I'm going to open up my own production company, and I'm going to do all these things for all my buddies, and we're just going to enjoy our success, whether our movies suck or not. That's a whole different ball of wax, but you know, it's shared success, and I know it sounds corny when I say it and everything, but I'm telling you, there is nothing better. It just feels so much better. You know, when people come up and look at my books and they talk about the covers and go, wow, these covers are gorgeous. I run my mouth about Mitch Malloy, the guy who does my cover work. There's nothing that makes me feel better than having somebody say, wow, look at that cover. You know what I mean? Because here's another guy who's sharing in what blessings I'm having. And, I think if more people in the world thought that way, we'd probably have a lot better day at the workplace. But nevertheless, that's my ultimate goal, to be writing for a living. And playwriting, if you will, on the side, just for a hobby, so to speak, you know?
When you say playwriting,
well,
do you mean like writing plays, or do you mean like just for fun?
Well, I wouldn't mind doing some independent film type stuff. I mean, granted, doing feature film stuff, I mean, for God's sake, I mean, it takes so much to go into that. But when you talk about, well, the Carrington event that we watched, you know, I started watching that, and hats off to Rob. Good grief, man. I mean, to the very last second when the credits rolled, what I like to call the pucker effect, you just stand right there and you're like, yo, did that just happen? And, you know, how long was Carrington Effect? It was about an hour long, 45 minutes, an hour long, right?
It is about 45 minutes, I think.
So it's long enough to get your story in, but it's not so long where it would be some grandiose mass undertaking and you couldn't get it out and you just couldn't let your raw talent and ability and creativity do the work for you. I mean, not every project requires Spielberg on set, you know, and just seeing, and hats off to Rob, just raw, go out there and roll up your sleeves, getting it done kind of talent. And amen. And going back to Will, I mean, now my man wouldn't stick around and watch No Child. He said he doesn't like to watch himself. And I'm going, dude, you're killing me. You can't walk away now. We've been, you know, knocking beers back all night. Now you're going to walk away when you get on. But you can see where he's doing his thing. And that role, he's talking about challenging himself. I think he come out of the gate doing it, to be honest with you, because I thought he did an excellent job.
Hey.
So,
Thanks for the kind words, man.
Absolutely, man. Well earned. And, you know, those smaller films like that, I think would probably be easy. I don't mean easy as in work, but more doable, if there's such a word, to financially speaking and everything else to get it out there.
Yeah.
I guess it's true that a 45-minute film costs less than a 92-minute film.
Right. And, you know, like I was saying, that script that I was working on there at Steampunk, it would require four actors. And two have speaking parts. One has a brief speaking part. The other one just got to stand there and do, and it's in a one room. And the whole thing is just shot in that one room. But you put certain compelling aspects in it. You can get away with that. I mean, when you look at some of these other films out here, I mean, let me throw the Blair Witch Project in there. I mean, for crying out loud, that movie might as well have been shot with a Betamax. I mean, it was just, but it had you on the edge of your seat. Whether you liked it or you didn't like it, that movie had you sitting on the edge of your seat. And it was shot with a camera phone, for God's sake. I mean, it was nothing to it. So I look at that and I go, shoot, why can't we do that? You know? And
absolutely.
Let's go on in there and flex our muscle. Let's flex some acting muscle. Let's flex some filming muscle and some writing muscle and all that kind of jazz, you know?
Yep.
And you'll have more liberty, too. And that's one of the things, these bigger networks, they, you don't have the option to be as liberating as you want to with your story. And the lower the budget is, the kind of more, I don't want to say leeway you have with it, but within reason, if you know you're not going to make a specific studio happy because you're not utilizing the studio, you can kind of go whatever path you want, and you have, like, more freedom, if that makes sense. So you can totally reach whatever audience you wanted to, where you wouldn't have that kind of option in another way, which is one of the reasons why I like, you know, lower budget independent films, is you have there's just so much more freedom, is what I guess I'm trying to say.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, Dave, thanks for your wishes, hopes, and dreams department. The Queen of Sparkle, Liz Allred, you are up on the wishes, hopes, and dreams department. What's your project for the next 5 years?
Okay, well, we're just going to start with wishes and hopes right now, and we'll go to dreams in a second. The first thing I wish is that every single one of us here gets where we want to go. And the reason I say that is not because, I want a little peace. No, it's kind of a more selfish reason. I think if every single one of us gets the place where we want to be, we're all meeting contacts that can help each other. And you guys seem like the kind of people that have, you know, wanted to be, and at least throughout the course of the past couple of months, you know, we're, you know, speaking with you guys, I've heard you say, you know, if we have the opportunity, I want to pull my friends into work. I want to pull these talented people into work. I want to be able to help elevate other people in the ways that I've been helped in elevation as well. And I think that if you guys are getting your dreams and your needs met, you know, there's no reason why you guys wouldn't extend a favor out to any of the other people who you guys are in close contact with. And for me, I think that's kind of how you make great quality product. And it's just kind of piggybacking off of kind of what you were saying before, is that, you know, even with the Adam Sandler situation, you know, great ideas come from small places. And if you are too busy seeing these huge ideas that all the people with money have, you're missing over so many fantastic ideas that just get brushed over because they don't have a voice, or they don't have the money to back it, or they just don't have the contacts to get you where you need to be. So that, we'll just start off with my selfless, and I'll say my amelioration for the day. I think I just made that up. but then we'll move on to kind of, I guess, what my dream is. And, you know, anybody who's ever been a filmmaker, I'm pretty sure you've heard them say, well, I've got a script I'm working on. I'm no different. I'm working on actually two scripts that I really like. I guess what sets apart, there's two scripts I'd really like to see come to fruition, but there's one in particular that I'm writing. It's actually, it's kind of a dry, dark humor. It's coming from a very dark place, but it's meant to be satirical, but it doesn't, like, on face value, on the surface, it doesn't really seem very funny until you kind of internalize what it is. And once you get to that part, like, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I see the irony there. But what makes this particular script great, at least in my opinion, and it's mine, so I'm going to think it's great, but I think the fact that I want to make it a musical makes it all the better, because I'm stepping out of your typical, you know, musical thought process. So what I would like to see in the next 5 years, I think, for me, is to have the drive and determination to buckle down and finish the script. I've worked with a handful of people musically, because I'm not musically inclined at all.
Welcome to the club.
What'd you say?
I said,
welcome
to
the club, yeah.
I couldn't carry a bucket if I had eight arms. Carry tune in a bucket if I had eight arms. I just couldn't do it. However, I do like musicals, and I like how you can convey emotion just through certain keys, certain notes. Like, you just, there's so much feeling that could come across, and there's not even a word that has been sung yet. And I feel like, I mean, it's, even if you look at old classic films, even now, before this whole gore movement kind of really took over, the suspense movement was really pushed, not because of what we were seeing, but because of what we were feeling and hearing. And I feel like, you know, you reach a totally different, like, connection plane with other people when you tap into so many different senses. And so for me, I would like to see the motivation come to finish my script, to finish the music, and to start compiling it. And the reason why I asked you earlier, if when you said you wanted to, you know, do playwriting, I was wondering if you were talking about stage performances or, you know, film performances, is because the concept that I have can go stage or feature, and I'm not
that
sure if I want to go from stage to feature first or flip it, because I think it would be really good as a stage piece as well. So
neat.
That's basically
what
I
wanted to really.
Yeah.
I mean, do people still go to plays these days? I mean, I don't get out much, so
it.
You have to guide me around, but I mean, do people actually still go to those?
I don't, but I think there is quite a fan base for strictly plays, you know, people that are all about just going to plays.
When I started college, I was a theater major long before I was ever a film student, and one of the things for me is I really connect with stage production. I've always done it since I was, I think I was 7 when I started working behind the scenes and all this other stuff. But, you know, they're two different beasts completely, and I know a lot of people group them together because they're in the arts. But whenever you even go into, like, an acting school, the whole element of stage acting versus film acting, they're completely different animals all the way around, and a lot of people don't realize that. So, you know, for me, yeah, there are a lot of people that I know that are, and if you look at my Facebook friends, I mean, I have my theater friends and my film friends, and a lot of times they don't blend and mesh. It's because they're completely different, and you have to come about them from a different artistic perspective, from a different playing field, a different point. And, you know, there are so many more people than I thought that were film related, theater related, and just stage. But I think that if you have a good story, stage is irrelevant. Film is irrelevant. If you have a good story that needs to be told, I think you're going to reach audiences and you're going to have cross platforms either way.
Right, right. And I agree with you about the story twists and the gore and everything. That's something about my writing is that and Dr. John, me and you have discussed it plenty of times, is I'd rather mess with your head than make you barf or make you jump out of your seat or something like that. I want you to take anything I write and I want you to set it down and go, damn. You know what I mean? I want it to be something.
Dave, I want to make a comment here right now about what you just said. H.P. Lovecraft, who we all know is one of the greatest science fiction, horror, fantasy, and just fiction writers in the world ever. And H.P. Lovecraft made a comment. He said, "The most frightening thing is what you can't see. If you don't know what it is and you can't put your finger on it, it becomes more and more frightening." Now, he had all these god-awful scenarios of Cthulhu and everything, but the real fear was in what you didn't know. He didn't have to have gore. He didn't have to have, whatever. So you're 100% right from the man that taught us to be afraid. You are.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's about playing on people's expectations. You know what they think is going to happen next. So if you do something completely, like Dave's talking about, that kind of plays with their mind, that's really going to be powerful,
People like to make sense of what they are experiencing. And if you can't make sense of it because you can't define it, that makes it even more scary. You can't define something you can't see, hear, smell, taste, touch, understand. And that makes your senses go insane. Like, it goes nuts because you can't process or comprehend or define what it is you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's a great
point. Dr. John, I am back in. My apologies for the interruption there.
That's okay. All right.
Let me go ahead and speak for AT&T. AT&T is like any pretty girl I've ever dated. At any given moment, I'm going to get dropped.
Okay, now, Dave. Let's be careful now. We love all the cell phone providers. All right. Well, now, if I may, and I never get a chance to talk about me on this show because I always want everybody to
hear
about everyone
you.
Else.
Look, come on.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to hear.
All right. Okay, I'm now going to talk about one of my true heroes, is Edward Davis Wood. Ed Wood is a hero of mine for a couple of reasons. One, the Ed Wood management philosophy. He did have one. He got together a group of people. He used the same group of people in every film that he had. He is the epitome of what we've been talking about. It's like using people in your network. But that's what Ed Wood did. And that's why I thought it was great. He brought Bela Lugosi back. He made him a star. The Lugosi family wasn't so happy about it. But listen, he gave him work. Well, anyway, so he gave Bela work, which was great. Now, I want to announce that for Comic-Con Stars, but probably the biggest show we may ever have is coming up next week. And Kathleen Wood Towner, Ed Wood's daughter, is going to be our guest on Comic-Con Stars next week. We're having a special 2-hour show.
Yeah.
And Kathleen is going to tell us stories about her father, Ed Wood, that nobody knows.
That's incredible.
I want you to tell all your friends. I am going to be telling everybody. It's going to be promoted heavily on VSC Nation. It's going to be promoted through Comic-Con Stars and through everyone that's going to be on the show. But Kathleen Wood Towner is going to give us some insight about her father, Ed Wood, that nobody else has. And to be honest with you, that was one of my life goals, was to do something about Ed Wood and bring some good things to light that no one else
had ever done.
So I guess the point is, you know, we're going to be doing it.
We're going to be doing it next week.
And then I guess the other thing that I want to do is I want to do some type of a documentary or some type of film on Ingo Swann, who was one of the best remote viewers of all time with the Stanford Research Institute. I keep a copy of his book, Penetration, with me at all times. No, it's not a porn book. It's about him taking a look at what's going on the moon and various places. Yes, I believe in remote viewing. I think it's for real. I've met Joe McMonagle. I know it's for real. Ingo Swann was the superstar of psychics, and he has been very seldom recognized. So I want to do something to recognize this man who taught us a lot about what we used to call the unknown, now is a little bit about the known. And, of course, I will always subscribe to the Ed Wood management philosophy of use your friends in your projects, because that's what it's all about. Right, Liz?
Yes. Absolutely. And
yes.
I'm here for you.
Now, do what? Okay, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, after the show, I'll get you a call. We'll get you hired, okay? Now,
we got to have sparkles. You know that.
Oh, we got to have. Listen, I had dinner with the Queen of Sparkle, and it was so exciting to actually meet Liz. And all we talked about was film, and we just it was the best of times. There was no worst of times there. It was not Charles Dickens. It was the best of times. Charles was not in the room, was he, Liz?
No, he was not. I was a total nerd, but not that big of a nerd.
I'm going to get an A+. I'm going to give myself an A+ on that one. And I see a suspicious phone call from area code 484. Is Justin on the line with us?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing good.
How are you, John?
We wish you well. I'm doing great. Comic-Con starts.
Hey, John, I had a quick question for you.
Sure.
Hey, John. Hey, could you turn up your volume a little bit? Because I can barely hear you guys. Please and thank you.
Well, I guess we got about all the volume we can. So, what's your question?
So how's everybody doing? Hey, Liz. Hey, Dave. And hey, Stro. How's everybody doing?
Well, Stro's not here. We got Will. We got Liz. And so we got a good
Will
crowd
Williams.
Tonight, and we're glad you're here.
Hey, Will Williams
is here.
We're doing good, Justin. We're doing real good.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
right.
I was just going to let you guys know for the Mike Roberts and all them guys, they're really starting to promote they're doing a Kickstarter for the TV show called Vaughn, and there's a link on their Facebook page. I was just bringing that up so they could because they're trying to raise $5,000 for their TV show, so they could raise more to keep the project going. That's all I had to let you guys know about.
Well, thanks.
Great.
And I intend.
I'll check that out.
I intend
good
to
hearing from you. Yep.
And I want mm-hmm. I want everyone to think about contributing. Justin, that's a great thing to bring up. It really is. We support Vaughn and Microsoft.
Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for letting us
on their Facebook.
You're welcome.
That's great, and we'll all do our best to do that. All right, we got time for one more round. What would you like to see? This is the wishes, hopes, dreams for someone else. What project would you like to see someone else do and why? And now I'm going to go back in semi-reverse order. I'm going to start with Will Williams. What project would you like to see other people do and why? Got you on the spot.
As far as
anything.
You all?
Any project. Anybody.
But anybody. Like any person.
Any person, whether you know them or not, what project do you want to see in the next 5 years and why?
Well, honestly, that's a tough question, but talking to you, I see your passion in what you're doing with the Comic-Cons and everything, and I'd like to see you turn that into just a full-time venture where that's all you're doing is living your passion. You know what I mean?
Well, I know why you want me to do that, because you know I'm going to have a film festival at the end of every Comic-Con, and we're going to grow the film industry in North Carolina. Right? Is that correct, Will?
That's exactly right. You know me too well.
I know you too well, but that's all right. I'm glad we know you well, and we got more to know. Yeah. All right, Liz, what project do you want to see?
I'm going to take it a little detour down a research avenue. My wife is working on a research project, and it is about minorities in film, and it's being able to track – she's a sociologist, so it's being able to track the, cultural changes as a society through what is being represented in film. And this is something that she's taking on as part of her graduate study as she's getting prepared to graduate next spring. And one of the things that she's really doing is looking in the film, you know, basically just to see how these minorities were portrayed in films. And for me, I think that just is a fantastic, like, meshing of both of our worlds. I'm a film kid. She's a total brain. And for me to be able to contribute, you know, to this research project is something that's high on my priority list. That will take time, and it's going to take a lot of effort in figuring out movies. Do what? I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yep. Okay, we're still there. AT&T and Stryker.
We're still here.
We're good.
Okay, good. For a second, I heard like four voices talking that apparently weren't here. But anyways, I'd like to see
Liz, excuse me. That was Ingo Swann talking. Okay, from the Afterlife. That was it.
Is Ingo
some Comic-Con stars now. All right, go forth now and conquer.
But yeah, so that's what I want to see. Is I want to see that project take off. I think that's beneficial. I think it's going to be fun. I also think it's going to be very informative, and I wish for nothing but a success in that avenue for not just my wife, but the other spectators who want to take that as a growth chart and kind of see where we're headed.
All right,
outstanding.
That's wonderful. All right, now Dave Atwell, you're next.
Yeah, you know me. I could talk it up. Well, first thing off, what Will said, I cannot get behind that anymore. John, for what you have done for me personally, I mean, me and you have known each other. I think it was probably right around this time last year we got
about
on the phone.
About a year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all I did was send an email to you asking you if I could have a table at Cape Fear. And you call me and shoot breeze 2 hours late, you know, for 2 hours. And I think the only reason why we hung up is because, you know, we both had to be to work at 1:30 in the morning, you know. So to see what you have done in just a year, and not to mention the fact that here I am hosting this show, I have the best time every Thursday night doing this. And have we had fantastic shows? Have we had some shows? It was like, Lord, somebody get the hook. Yes, we have. But I'm here to tell you, I have, and I've told you a million times over, totally impressed. I'm totally impressed with your drive and totally impressed with the way you share the success. So that's number one. Well said, young man. Second thing off, it's not really a wish, but something else I'd like to touch on real quick while we got the floor. That night at Steampunk, when we all got together and we watched films, and though I had nothing to do with any of the films that we were watching, I got Will to the left of me, and, you know, we're clanking beer bottles together. I've got Rob standing behind us. And, you know, he keeps whispering in our ears the whole time. I've got Vaughn and Ryan sitting to the right of me. And I got Stroh, who I don't think his feet hit the ground the whole time, sitting down there below me. And I'm watching these guys on the screen, and they're sitting next to me. And I'm going, this is movie night. This is how it's done right here. I mean, for everybody coming together like that, I'm here to tell you, if there was one part of that whole show that I had the best time at, was that after party film thing. Amen. Great plan. Keep it together. But speaking on success for somebody else, and I'm going to scare the daylights out of every parent out there right now when I say this. Ultimately, uh-oh, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to go and speak to every English teacher, to every literature teacher, to every acting teacher. I would like to have the opportunity for them to gather up the most brilliant two dozen, three dozen minds and put them in a room, not an auditorium, where I'm sitting right next to these people, these young folks, rubbing elbows with them, right there next to them, and just speaking to them about how to follow it. You know, if there's something that's in your head, write it down. If there's something that you want to do, if you want to act, get out there. And
yeah,
on the flip side, I want to tell them the pitfalls. I want to tell them about all the garbage that I've gone through the publishing industry and all the ups and downs of writing, because I'm here to tell you, when I wrote that Jack the Ripper book, I was unapproachable for 4 months. I was so out. And you know how I am, man. I'm wide open. There's no gear on me. But when I was writing that Jack the Ripper book, I was so into it that I kind of checked out for a little bit. And I want to let them know it's okay to do that. Now, you can't go totally off the rails with it, but I want to talk to these guys that are 14, 17, 18, these guys that got something in their head, and I want to sit down and tell them it's okay. Write it down. Get it out there. Don't be scared. Be scared. And maybe someday those guys will go back to that moment that I was sitting there with them in some plastic, uncomfortable chair that killed my back that afternoon. And they go, it's because of that clown coming in and talking to that afternoon is the reason why I'm at where I'm at. And, again, shared success isn't about money. Shared success is about success in its purest form. And, John, going back to the original point, you're the epitome of that. I've watched you go from a guy who had an idea to a guy who executed it in a year.
Yeah.
So if us old-timers can do it.
Yeah. Listen, buddy, fear,
what's for the younger crowd?
Fear can make you do a lot of great things, or potentially great things. So that's all I got to say. fear is a great motivator. Is that right, Will?
It is. It
so is.
Poverty.
Is
what? What?
That's true. Oh God, yeah.
Food is always nice. I mean, lights. Yeah, I can always light a candle. You know, indoor plumbing is nice. Running water is good. So yeah, those are big motivators.
Now I'm talking about fear. Fear is a great motivator. Fear that you won't get anything done. Anyway, that's great, Dave. Thanks and kudos. I got to thank our group tonight. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, it really has.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's great to just get friends together and talk.
Shoot the breeze.
We got our friend. Yep. We got our friend Justin here that we all met up at Steampunk Mid Atlantic. We got Dave, we got Will, we got Liz, who gets the phone call after the show because she wants to be hired, which is fine. But I tell you what, I cannot thank these people enough for being on the show, being part of the regulars, and kind of telling the way it is, and as we project in our own futures, what we want to do independently and with each other as we make entertainment great, as we make Comic-Cons better and better and better. So I want to say thanks, first of all, to everyone who has been on the show tonight, number one.
Number two, I want to say please, I'm going to be calling actually everyone on here to be with us next week for Kathy Wood Towner's her interview. It's going to be one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done, and I will finally, hopefully, and I guess this is my wish for the next 5 years, that I can do something positive and let everybody know what a great filmmaker Ed Wood really was. He had no money or very limited funds, and he created things that no one else could have done. He re-employed the great Bela Lugosi, and cannot wait until next week to have Kathleen Wood Towner on. Papa Stroh will be back with us. We want to congratulate him, being his second world championship win at UPWA, promoter Donald Brown.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I mean, and you know, Rob Kellum, Papa Stroh Maestro, is truly one of the best wrestlers. He works out every day. He epitomizes what a great wrestler should be. He's involved in the community. He works hard to stay in shape, and he takes his role as a wrestler very seriously, like every one of us do in our professions and what we do. So I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. And next week we're going to have a blast with Kathleen Wood Towner. Of course, everybody gets the huddle call after the show tonight. So I want to thank all of you for being here. Next week, Kathleen Wood Towner with of course Alan Braswell, who's a great friend of hers, who's a great friend of Comic-Con stars, one of the most entertaining and one of the smartest people that I know. So we'll see everybody here back, I hope, if your schedules allow, because I want to make sure that we have some great questions for a very wonderful lady whose dad gave us one of the most important films. I don't care what anyone says. Plan 9 from Outer Space is a singular point in the film business. We love it. We love it for what it is. We love it for Bela Lugosi, Tor Johnson, Vampira, and everybody else that's on it. So I want to say thank you from Comic-Con stars. We'll see you next week. And we'll all say goodbye. Bye.
All right. Good night. Will Liz, well done. You guys are killing it. Love you guys.
Hey, great talking to you all.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me here.
Thanks,
Liz. Fear.
Justin, thanks for being
August
on.
12.
You're welcome.
August
12. See you guys next week.
We'll see everybody next week. Take care. Love you and Godspeed from Comic-Con Stars.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.